This is the closing market report for the 26th day of September. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Let's go through the numbers. What we might expect first from USDA's grain stocks report. This will be the first report in several years that most people believe will tally what's really left in the bin. Because there shouldn't be too much that has come in prior to September the 1st for the new year. What do you think it will show?
That's a good question. and you're right. It should be a good number because what harvest was going on prior to September 1st was basically the far southern areas, and they probably had their corn emptied out. For old corn, so their bins were probably empty. So, you know, when they filled out the survey, they probably said zero old crop corn because that's the way they're supposed to fill it out because they were pretty well full with new. So hopefully we will get a solid number on both corn and soybeans because I do think we do need to start over with something a little better than what we've experienced in the last 3 or 4 years. So I do think, and I think, you know, for the most part, I guess, you know, USDA, for one reason or the other, they chose to lower their number here on the September report, I think down to 680 or something. Most people, I think, are in that 700 million bushel area. You know, so I guess I can't argue too much on that. Soybeans, the average trade guess in USDA is still at like 125. I've talked to some people that kind of think that's probably smaller, that we may come in maybe like 110, something like that, a little smaller. So whatever the numbers are, they were clearly pipeline numbers. Because actually they were probably below pipeline because we did have some shutdowns going on during the month of August. So my guess is that they're going to be pretty low. But we'll trade it for about 5 minutes and then we'll start talking about the October crop report.
And they'll talk about the October crop report, and when they begin that process, I suppose much attention will turn to two things. Will yield change and will acreage change? Your druthers there?
Well, I think both will probably change. Unless we begin to hear some smaller yields coming out of Iowa, I think you probably could see the national average yield maybe bubble up a bushel or so. Most people are kind of in that camp. Acres is a big question. I'm one that kind of believes that the drop in acreage may be a little larger than probably what the average guess will be. Now, on soybeans, I just haven't heard too much on soybean yields. Hopefully here there's been more activity around than what we think. But the far western beans have been coming in real terrible. But I've heard some decent yields in the eastern Corn Belt. Central Illinois, from what I've heard, is just so-so. I think the best I heard was like a 54. Now, south of the Quad Cities, where I'm from, I did hear a 70. And I probably have a tendency to believe that bean crop was planted real early, and it caught a few extra rains that a lot of areas didn't. But my guess is that the bean yield is going to have to come down some. I just think that the month of August that usually makes beans with no rain and all the heat that we're going to be on the smaller side of the yield equation on soybean.
On the bottom line, I suppose really what matters is what's left at the end of the marketing year. And at this point, USDA, at least in their WASD figures, are saying something about 1.85 billion bushels of corn, I think 150 million of soybeans. Both would be, the soybean would be relatively tight, but the corn numbers, comfortable?
Yeah, real comfortable. It's not as comfortable as what it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago because a bad crop in Argentina or a bad crop in the Ukraine or a bad crop in South Africa, or who knows, we may have weather problems again next year, can change that in a hurry. But yeah, it's scary when you look at a 1.8 and then you look down the road and you don't see much increase in demand. That thing could build back to where we were in the middle 80s. It's almost really scary what that corn yield, what the corn market could do over the next couple of years. And that same way with soybeans. I think soybeans is going to stay tight this year, but if South America would have another big crop, and then we come back with a bigger crop in soybeans because of less corn acres or more bean acres, we could bury ourselves in the soybean market also with some humongous ending stocks levels. So when you look at it, if you assume average weather and average this and average that, it does look like we could bury ourselves in supply over the next couple of years, and that's what a lot of guys are looking at, and that's why everybody's so gog-darn bearish in agriculture. And in the near term, that whether it's a 1.6 or 1.7 or 1.8, it's twice what the trade has been working over the past couple of years, and it's just going to be real comfortable, and that's one of the reasons why it's real hard here to get the corn market to kind of catch and try to stage a good rally. But wheat has done a fantastic job of coming out of its low, and it's ripping the shorts up pretty bad. I'm kind of thinking that the corn market is kind of in the same position as this. People are heavily short the corn market. Farmers are not selling very much, if any. And I think something could come along and maybe trigger a pretty good rally, a short covering rally here in the corn market. And that might give people an opportunity to put some hedge to arrive contracts in place, because I'm sure on a big pop like that, the basis will widen, and so they'll need to maybe use the hedge to arrive, and then when the market settles down, then the basis might come back in, and then they could convert that to a cash sale.
On the export market, talk to me just a bit about the beans, because the marketing year has started off really pretty strong by the numbers.
Yes, it has. And a lot of it is because of logistics. It's easier to get beans out of the U.S., so a lot of people put the book on. Now, everything's late. Nobody's got any real new beans to come down here yet and load up. But getting beans out of South America is just nerve-wracking. There's time delays, and you got ships delays and all this kind of stuff. So that's one advantage that we do have over South America is that we're a much more reliable, speedier supplier of inventory, whereas South America, there's always a strike to start off the season, and then they get plugged up and just don't have the infrastructure to push that type of volume through their export ports like what they're growing. I mean, that was fine when they only grew half of what they were growing, but now since they're that high, it's just real hard. So we do have good buying interest here. China has been a buyer all summer. And that shows up. I mean, all of our weekly export sales numbers are running ahead of last year's pace on everything, which is at least an encouraging sign here to start off the new marketing year.
Do you suppose the Japanese market for corn, which had been the number one market for U.S. corn for years, has recovered from the tsunami and is ready to start to feed livestock more heavily?
Well, I can't answer that specifically, but it should be. We should be at a point where they're going to require more inventory. The only thing I can say is that on the DDG's market, they at least right at the moment, it doesn't look like that's going to grow any this coming year. Mm-hmm. So they may be a little slow to recover on their livestock. But my guess is that you should begin to see some of that growth at least sometime here over the next 12 months, and that should be a supporting influence as we go on into maybe next year.
Hey, thanks so much.
Okay.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon.